many great men down through the ages have become famous for some of the great statements that they have made. Harry S. Truman was famous for saying, "The buck stops here." John F. Kennedy is remembered for his great statement, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country." But I want to suggest to you that one of the greatest statements ever made was made not by a man who reigned as a king on this earth, not by a man who was some great political leader, not by a man who was extremely wealthy and well-to-do, not by a man who served as the president of the United States of America, but by a lowly carpenter from Nazareth of Galilee, a town that wasn't even famous during its day. It was kind of despised. And yet one of the greatest statements ever made and recorded and remembered was made by a man from Nazareth named Jesus Christ. And Jesus made this statement in John chapter 14 and verse 6. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." But I want to suggest to you that this statement that the Lord made here is a very rich statement. Countless sermons have been preached based upon this very statement. And this is the statement that I want to talk to us about for a few minutes this morning as we think about this idea of Jesus, the deliverer. Jesus is the deliverer. And we see Him as the deliverer. We see that reflected so powerfully in this statement in John 14, 6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I want to suggest to you three things that the Lord delivers us from based on this statement. Number one, we see that the Lord Jesus delivers us from detours. Detours. Jesus said, "I am the way." Now, it's very interesting how this concept of the way caught on. In fact, as you read the book of Acts, you find that the Lord's church was established. You find that the apostles and prophets were preaching the doctrine of Jesus Christ and spreading the teaching of His resurrection and His salvation throughout the world. And that message that they were preaching, that very message, came to be known as simply the way. In Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, as Saul was really firing up and revving up in his persecution against the saints, and he asked permission to go even into foreign cities, in this case to go to Damascus, we're told, so that he, if he found any who were of the way. See that? The way. A little bit later, over in Acts chapter 19, and in verse 9, we find Paul, he's now a Christian, at Ephesus. And it says, "But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude." And so we see folks here speaking evil of the way, down in verse 23 of Acts chapter 19. "And about that time there arose a great commotion about the way." The way, again, referring to the doctrines and the teachings of Jesus Christ the Lord. Over in Acts chapter 24, and in verse 14, again, it says, "But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect." This is Paul making his defense before Felix and talking about the Jews and how they speak against the way. It's interesting that Felix later came to Paul. And we're told that he had now a more accurate knowledge of the way. Jesus is the way. His teaching, His doctrine is the way. Now there have been many different ways proposed by men down through the ages. There have been the way of the philosophers, or even the Gnostics, who were philosophers in and of themselves. Men who have been marked down by history as wise men with great sayings, great bumper sticker bits of wisdom. And they have offered different ways, but none of them has been the real way. Matter of fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, in writing Timothy, the Apostle Paul called their things idle babblings. And he called it there science, falsely so-called. Now that word science in the Greek, or translated from the Greek, literally means knowledge. And so it's knowledge, falsely so-called. The Gnostics come along and they thought they had a way. You see, their thinking, their belief system was that anything spiritual was inherently good and anything material was inherently evil, and the two could never interact. Therefore, Jesus or God could not literally be manifested in the flesh. It was just impossible. And so what happened was that God emanated from himself a lesser God. And that lesser God is referred to as an aeon by the Gnostics, as some sort of an angel God type of individual. And then that aeon emanated from himself another lesser God, and then he another lesser God, and then he another lesser God. And these Gnostics made up long, fancy pedigrees for each one of these aeons, for each one of these lesser gods, until finally there was one that was so far removed from the true God, that is the one who then came down to earth as Jesus the Christ. And in order to get into a right relationship with God, you had to literally go through each one of these aeons. And you had to learn their pedigrees and recite their pedigrees, and then you would be promoted to the next one. And then you learn all about him, and then you're promoted to the next one. And then finally you get to God. Listen, that's a man-made way. That is not the way. And then there was the way of the Jews. The way of the Jews was that you would keep the old law and thereby earn your salvation. That's not the way of God. In Galatians 2, verse 21, Paul said, if righteousness comes to the law, then Christ died in vain. But the Jews missed it. And then there are some who are working under the idea of the way of riches. They think they're very wealthy and very rich, that somehow they're going to buy their way to heaven. Bible says in Proverbs 11:4, riches do not profit in the day of wrath. God doesn't take cash, check, credit. God wants righteousness. Those are simply detours. Jesus is the way. It's his message. It's his doctrine. It's his blood that is the way to God. But not only does Jesus deliver us from detours, but Jesus delivers us from deceptions. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. I love the story in John chapter 6 where some of Jesus' disciples just thought that the things he were teaching were too hard, too difficult, and so many of them left him. And Jesus turned to his closest disciples, to his apostles, and he said, do you want to go away too? And Peter gave such the perfect answer. He just simply said, well, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. In other words, who else can we go to? Who else has the words of eternal life? The implication is that no one. Jesus alone, he has the words to eternal life. Now, there have been many deceptions down through the years about how to get to God or how to get to eternal life. There was the way of mythology, and the Greeks and the Romans, and they all invented their own gods and all these gods, and somehow you serve them, and somehow they then grant you eternal life. It's a grand deception. Then there was the Pharisees and the deceptions they had. They thought that that they could earn their salvation by keeping the traditions of men. Man made traditions. In Matthew 15, verses 6 to 8, Jesus condemned them for teaching his doctrines, the commandments of men. Taking man made doctrines and teaching them as if God himself had taught them, the Judaizers. Well, they had it all wrong. Even those Judaizers later who wanted to become Christians and serve the Lord then thought that they had to keep the law of Moses too in order to be saved. And Paul comes along and says that's a distortion of the gospel, and those who teach such, let him be accursed. Galatians 1, verses 6 to 9. Over in Galatians chapter 3 and verses 1 to 2, Paul asked them the question, when you were saved, were you saved by the spirit of the law of Moses or by the spirit of faith, or the hearing of faith? Well, it's by the hearing of faith. That is the system of teaching of Jesus Christ. Those in Acts 15:1 came from Jerusalem up to Antioch and began to teach, unless you are circumcised, you cannot be saved. And Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them. Why? Because that was error. Those were deceptions. You don't have to be physically circumcised in order to be a Christian and to finally have eternal life. Those are deceptions. And then, of course, there are Satan's deceptions. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 2 and 4. Paul talks about how Satan pulls the veil over the eyes of many people and deceives them. In 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 to 15, the Apostle Paul talks about Satan transforming himself into an angel of light, and about how all his devils and demons, how they transformed themselves into servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, they're masquerading as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're teaching religious error, and they're good at what they do. In Romans 16, 17 and 18, Paul warns them about those who teach something contrary than what you have already been taught. He said, those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ. They claim to. They try to convince you that they are serving Him, but they don't serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says they serve their own belly. And then he says, by smooth words and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the simple, that is, the unlearned, those who are not established in the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they deceive people, and they're good at it. Smooth words, flattering speech. I think about those deceptions today. One of the greatest deceptions that Satan has wielded on the religious world today and on the world at large is the faith-only doctrine. All you have to do is believe. You know, when I talk to these folks who believe the faith-only doctrine and teach the faith-only doctrine, I find out very quickly they don't really believe in faith-only. Because when I ask them, well, does one have to repent of his sins in order to be saved? They say, oh, yeah, you've got to repent. Well, then it's not faith-only, is it? Well, no. And then they tell you, well, you have to say something called a sinner's prayer in order to be saved. Well, now it's not faith only, is it? It's faith plus saying something called a sinner's prayer. And I would ask them, now, when you repent, have you now earned your salvation? When you say that so-called sinner's prayer, by merit of having said that prayer, have you now earned your salvation? I mean, you had to do it in order to be saved, right? You had to repent in order to be saved. Have you not earned your salvation through repentance? Absolutely not. Listen, no one ever earns their salvation. And that's what the faith-only people... By the way, those who teach and practice faith-only, they don't really believe in faith-only. What they mean by that is that you don't have to be baptized to be saved. Because somehow they think that if you're baptized to be saved, then now you have earned your salvation. That's just not so. It's no more true than when you repent. When you repent to be saved, you have not earned your salvation. When you confess your faith in Christ to be saved, you have not earned your salvation. When you're baptized to be saved, you have not earned your salvation. But if you don't do those things, you're not going to receive salvation. That's what the Bible teaches. No one ever earns their salvation. The only thing we've earned is eternal death. That's a deception. And then, of course, Jesus delivers us from detours. Jesus delivered us from deceptions, and Jesus delivers us from death. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The life. He delivers us from death. Jesus removes the sting of death. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 to 58, the Apostle Paul talks about how we have been delivered from the sting of death. We don't have to dread death anymore. But not only the sting of death, but Jesus removes the sentence of death. Now, if you have ever sinned, you have been sentenced to eternal death. But Jesus taught in John 11, 21 to 27, that even though a man dies, he shall live if he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 6, 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Jesus alone can deliver us from eternal death. And He does so by His precious blood that He shed on the cross. Revelation 1:5 and Ephesians 1:7 teaches us that it's the blood of Christ that washes away our sins. We have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. He delivers us from detours. He delivers us from deception. And He delivers us from death. Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, and this message is brought to you by the Southside Church of Christ of Smyrna, Tennessee. A new message airs each Sunday morning right here on WGNS from 10:45 to 11 a.m. You can listen to hundreds of my sermons at our website, defendthegospel.com. We'd like to invite you to worship with us at any or all of our services. You'd be our honored guest. We meet on Sundays at 9 and 10 a.m. and 6 p.m., as well as Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We meet at 1167 South Lowry Street, Smyrna, Tennessee. Thank you for listening, and have a wonderful day.